Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's gospel we hear of a cure and of the raising from the dead, one of the instances in which our Lord raised a dead person or restored a dead person to life. And the details of how this transpired show that our Lord, through this instance, as with the raising of Lazarus, another case, he's preparing his disciples for faith in the resurrection, his own resurrection. The commentary of the fathers on this passage points out that by stopping, well, first of all, our Lord responds very promptly to the request of the official, which is for us a lesson both as subjects to the official's humility and faith in coming. Is an example for us how to approach God, and then also if we're in a position of authority to serve promptly when help is requested of us. So our Lord goes forth, but then he takes time to heal the woman with the hemorrhage, who also very humbly comes to him despite her condition, which besides being afflicted by this hemorrhage because of the nature of her illness was by the law considered unclean, and so it's a humiliation for her. And so she approaches him from behind and doesn't even deem to touch him or his vestments, but just the very hem, the tassel of his cloak. And so our Lord stops and acknowledges her, heals her, encourages her. And the commentary on this is that it's another piece of evidence that our Lord wanted to be very sure that there was no doubt that the girl that he was about to raise to life was truly dead. He delays so that when he arrives, it's very evident that she's dead. And that's why the detail about the flute players in the crowd making a commotion. It's not that she's laying ill and near death, but everybody is convinced that she is truly dead. And so they ridicule our Lord when he says she's just sleeping. And so he puts them all out, and before the girl's parents, raises her back to life to establish in the minds of all that this was no illusion. He also, in the other accounts, in the other Gospels of the same event, orders that she be given something to eat so that it would not seem that it was simply an illusion, but in fact she's alive and restored to health. The saint whom we commemorate today, Veronica Giuliani, is one of the great mystic saints of the church. She's not as well known as some others. Father Stefano Minelli, the founder of the Franciscans of the Immaculate, I remember him saying that she would be a doctor of the church if her writings were available in popular languages. Saint Veronica Giuliani was ordered to keep a diary of her various experiences, and so I think it was maybe like 20,000 pages she wrote. And she lived in the I'm not mistaken, 1600s or 1700s, and spoke a dialect of Italian, which is antiquated and not spoken anymore and not so easy to understand. So it's not standard Italian, which would be much easier to translate than into English or other languages. But so Saint Veronica Giuliani was a great mystic and experienced many, many astounding aspects of the mystical life, including the stigmata she received. And she also had incised in her heart the symbols of the Passion of Christ, Because of the extraordinary things that were taking place in her life, people were fascinated, and the church became interested and concerned because it had to be determined whether this was the work of God or of the evil one to delude people. And so she underwent a great trial, moral trial, in that she was suspended from her position within the monastery to which she belonged. She was isolated, she was humiliated, she was watched over constantly, even as some of the mystical events were taking place. And all of this that she went through, because the church needed to be sure that these things were from God and not an illusion, and of course it was in the end determined because of the heroic way in which she endured this trial, never complaining, full of peace and serenity despite the tremendous suffering that she was going through. The church then did recognize, in fact, that she was experiencing authentic manifestations from God, and then eventually was declared a saint. But this event in her life, which was in many ways an imitation and a participation in Christ's passion, also to the point of, you know, having these exterior or corporal signs of the passion, she also underwent a sort of death in that trial of being isolated, of being discredited, not believed, questioned. And then through her great faith in God and her serenity in knowing that she was in the hands of our Lord, she was restored then to the life of the community, and so in a certain symbolic way underwent a death and a resurrection also. Our Lord always cares for us and will never abandon us, no matter what trials we have to face. If we're true to Him, if we have just a little bit of trust, He will prove to us His power and His love. And the more we give ourselves to Him, the more He gives Himself to us, as Saint Veronica Giuliani experienced. She also experienced the great love and intervention of the Blessed Mother. As she attests many times, she was, in a certain way, almost in a sort of ecstasy on autopilot, or at times even perhaps apparently absent from the life of the community, and at the same time, everything that she was supposed to be doing as the superior, as the abbotess of the community, was done to perfection. And it was later revealed that it was the Blessed Mother herself who was doing everything for Saint Veronica Giuliani. That kind of astounding intervention. May not be our experience, but certainly in less evident ways, but just as truly, Our Lady also will do for us. If we just place ourselves in her hands, she will see to our sanctification, which is the greatest work to which we're called. So with Saint Veronica Giuliani and all the saints, let us place our trust in the Blessed Mother and in our Lord, who, though we may have to go through death, as we all do, in various ways, and then corporally, will also see to our resurrection, will get us through every trial. Praise be Jesus and Mary.